Welcome. I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of Acts. Today is episode 223. We're looking at Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Let's read our passage. After they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked, "Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than people. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. God exalted this man to his right hand as ruler and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Well, if we remember the sequence of events, Peter and John healed the lame man and attracted a crowd and were proclaiming the gospel. They were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin and then released, but given orders not to do it again. Well, they did it again. They were back in the temple area preaching about Jesus. They were arrested again, held overnight, but this time they were released by an angel who came and miraculously busted them out of jail. They went back out into the temple area the next morning, and the Sanhedrin called them to come up from the jail, but they weren't there. And somebody says that they're actually out in the temple area preaching about Jesus again. So the commander of the temple police went and brought them without force to appear before the Sanhedrin. So apparently asked them to appear. And that's where we are today. So verse 27, after they brought them in, pause here, them, who are we talking? We're talking all the apostles this time, not just Peter and John, but all the apostles. So they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them. So they're standing before the ruling council. Remember, this is 71 people, important people. This is the highest authority in Israel, short of the Roman government. The high priest asked, "Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name?" It's kind of a rhetorical question. Yeah, you did, and we've not paid any attention to that. And he says, "Look, you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." So it's got two charges he's really levying against them. Before, the question was, what authority are you doing this by? And there was no actual charge brought against them. That's why they just threatened them and released them and ordered them not to do it anymore. This time they've got actual charges. And there's pretty much two charges he's bringing. One is that they have violated the order that the Sanhedrin gave them before to not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. So they're actually violating an order from the Sanhedrin. And secondly, it's easy for us to kind of gloss over this, but this charge that you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Yeah, but is that really a charge? Well, you could make the case that it's a charge, because to say they're guilty of murder is to actually accuse them of a capital offense, something that they could be executed for. And so you could say that they're, you know, from the Sanhedrin's point of view, the apostles are making false accusations. We're not guilty of this man's blood. We're not guilty of murder. But that's pretty much what they're saying. Two charges, essentially, they're dealing with here, violating their order and levying these accusations against the Sanhedrin. Notice something he doesn't mention here. Their escape from jail. That's just cleverly missed here. They're not accused of breaking out of jail with the help of an angel. Look at verse 29. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than people." Notice it says Peter and the apostles. Obviously, by the way this is worded, it's Peter and the other apostles, but Peter is the spokesman. So it's all the apostles, but Peter is the spokesperson here. Says, "We must obey God rather than people." That's what they said before. That's what they did. Then he goes on, and notice he never actually gives a defense of their innocence. He pretty much admits what they're doing right here. We must be God rather than people. Yeah, you told us to do that, and yeah, we didn't do it because we have to obey God rather than people. What he does is he gives a proclamation of the gospel again. Quick point here about the obey God rather than people. When the angel busted them out of jail, the angel specifically told them, go back and keep preaching. So they must obey God. I think it was on verse 30. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. Let's pause there a second and talk about this, hanging him on a tree. This is a big deal, this idea of being hung on a tree, because it's mentioned in Deuteronomy 21:23. We've talked about this before. It says that if you're hung on a tree, you're cursed. Under a curse, being hung on a tree. This is the biggest form of disgrace that you can undergo. And so the enemies of Jesus here have put upon him, they've subjected him to the maximum disgrace you can. Secondly, he has become a curse, substitute for others. He himself has become a curse to bear the sins of the world so he can be the Savior. But while the enemies of Jesus have subjected him to the maximum curse you can, verse 31, God exalted this man to his right hand as ruler and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. We're witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So he gives the essence, what we called earlier, the kerygma, the explanation, the teaching, the core guts of the gospel. It talks about the guilt of the Jewish leaders. He talks about resurrection and exaltation, repentance, forgiveness in his name, and the apostolic witness. These are the key elements that we see repeated in the New Testament, the explanation of the gospel. And it really isn't a defense. It's a presentation of the gospel. It's being a witness rather than a defendant. And rather than defending their innocence, this is actually an offer of salvation to the Sanhedrin, an explanation of their guilt before God and their opportunity to experience forgiveness just as the apostles have. And so we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Obviously, all these miraculous things are being done under the power of the Holy Spirit as a authentication of the veracity of what they are proclaiming, that even these rulers of Israel are sinners, guilty of sin, in need of forgiveness. But the offer of salvation is available even to them. This is a pretty bold proclamation by Peter. Here to the religious rulers of Israel that you guys need salvation too. And it's true. There's nobody too important who doesn't need salvation. But there's also nobody to whom salvation is not available. And we need to be ready to give that offer of salvation to whoever we have the opportunity to also, that everyone may encounter is either a follower of Christ or not. And if they're not, they need salvation. And the offer of salvation is available to them. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Acts.